have no relationships to disclose. And in wanting to just give you an overview of the study before I start talking about the personal narrative, this is a study where we're attempting to recruit 20 patients to look at the acceptability of offering yoga in a primarily minority bilingual community. These are patients receiving rheumatology care at the NIAMS clinic in Washington, D.C. So first we had to define acceptability, and it's that quality that makes an idea attractive or satisfactory, and it can be influenced by culture or education or personality. For acceptability, we wanted to look at response rates, and right now we're at about 27%. I'm going to be showing you our qualitative data, and then 3 months after the patients have completed this study, we call them again to see if they're still doing yoga. This process is very interdisciplinary. We have a large group of people that come from the nursing department at NIH. We also have two clinicians from NIAMS, which is the National Institute of Arthritis, Musculoskeletal, and Skin Diseases. And we have three practitioners from rehab medicine, a physiatrist, OT, and PT. This is our eligibility criteria. We're only able to enroll patients who are already on the NIAMS Natural History Study. They have to have either a diagnosis of OA or RA, rheumatoid or osteoarthritis, and they have to at least be 18 years of age. And we do have some exclusionary criteria. Enrolling onto our study is a three-stage process. We actually do go into the rheumatology clinic to recruit, and we fill out our baseline and demographic information there at the clinic. Once patients are enrolled, the next step is for them to go to rehab medicine. And here they get measures such as balance and strength and how long it takes them to get up from the floor. And then the final stage is that once we get a cohort of at least 5 people, they're actually enrolled into a yoga class. Those classes are offered for 8 weeks, and we do provide a Spanish interpreter for all classes. So this is just a background of the measures that we collect. We're going to talk about the qualitative data, but we are also collecting quantitative data, both at baseline, and then there are some measures that are taken again after the study is completed. This is just a basic demographic overview. When I submitted the abstract, we had 16 patients that had been enrolled on the study. And of those, the mean age was about 50. Most of our patients are immigrants, so the first generation from other countries, and they've been in the U.S. about 25 years on average. And the length of time with either osteo or rheumatoid is about 9 years. As you can see, the majority of our population is Hispanic, and so there's a lot of Spanish-speaking patients that are enrolled on the study. And we have a larger cohort of rheumatoid than osteoarthritis. So getting a little more into the study, like I said, we offer yoga classes for 60 minutes. They are bilingual. We offer them twice a week for 8 weeks. This study is based on a previous study that was done at Hopkins called Yoga for Arthritis, and they did find a positive effect of yoga on arthritis, so we're just testing to see feasibility and acceptability in this group. Because the patients have arthritis, we do offer props, chairs, and belts, blankets, bolsters to help the patients with the yoga poses. Getting a little more deeper into our data collection, the patients are instructed to do home practice, and not only are they participating in our classes, they also practice at home. They're given a manual that has pictures of the poses and suggestions of theories to do for home practice. And the main part of this study is that we also give them journals. And in the journals, they're keeping a record of how often they practice and for how long. And we're asking them, because this is a pilot study, to give us feedback about anything that they want, being on the study, the yoga, what they're doing at home, just anything that they want us to know about the time that they spend on our study. So getting a little bit more into the qualitative part of this research, I have to admit that I am a reluctant qualitative researcher. I went into this wanting to do quantitative data, and many people on my team wanted to collect the qualitative, and they agreed to help analyze it. But these are some myths about qualitative data that I have to admit that I bought into initially. That there's no formal training needed, it's not scientific, it's difficult to generate hypotheses, there's no systematic method for analyzing data. There's no rigor. The methods can't be replicated. That the self-report is unreliable, it's not publishable, and it's difficult to inform practice based upon the findings. So this study is basically my way to refute all of those. This is a scheme of what we did to actually analyze the data. So initially, we started out with the journal entries in Spanish and English. Our team met for 10 months, 2 hours each time. So once a month for 2 hours, not the entire time. And what we started off with 40 broad categories to look at. And we had two independent researchers, Gladys Tata Ayuketa, who's in the audience, and Stephanie Hazmunas is actually the PI for the Hopkins study, and she's our consultant for this study. So they looked at the participant comments separately. Then we came together and met as a group to try to reach consensus. There was a third independent coder, Claiborne Miller Davis, who is actually our in vivo coder. And so she coded separately on her own. So at this point, we have three different people looking at the quotes and developing themes. When we added in Claiborne's perception of how the themes should be listed, we were able to condense down to 23. So then we still had a lot of themes, and we came together one last time to look and see if we had just one theme with one quote, and maybe it would be best to collapse them down into smaller categories. So at the end, we ended up with 12 themes, and we removed any duplicates where they were necessary. And then as a final step, we did add back in some quantitative data to make sure we were kind of on the right track. This slide we put together just to kind of give you an overview of where we started. As you can see, we had 120 quotes that came from only 6 participants. So there's a lot of data that's generated with this method. Our three highest quotes were feel good, self-efficacy, and benefit, which I'll talk a little bit more as we get into the presentation. The participants could fill out the journals if they wanted to. It wasn't mandatory. So we had some people who wrote a lot and some who just didn't give us any quotes at all. So I don't expect you to be able to see the words, but it's just to see the volume. The first time we had 4 themes. The second time we went through and got it down to 23. And the last time we came together as a group for consensus, we got it down to 12, and then we had some sub-notes. This is just a picture of the in vivo screenshot, and I'm not an in vivo expert, but what this does allow us to do is to take the quote and track it to a theme, and to take the themes and track it back to who actually made that quote. So this is a way for us to keep track of what we were doing. So after we had analyzed the data, I needed to, in my mind, figure out what we had actually done and how I could say that this was valid and scientific. And what we were doing to keep track of our process was that we take very good meeting notes, and we are using the in vivo electronic database to maintain our transcripts. And then for credibility, we had our clinicians look at the data and the themes that we had come up with, and I'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. And then for me, I needed to be able to blend both the quantitative and qualitative to look at triangulation, just to make sure that we weren't just making things up from the data and that we had something else to back up what the things that we were coming up with. So this is what I want to talk a little bit more about credibility. This is just one of the themes and two of the quotes that was sent to our clinician, to our rheumatologist, Dr. Ward. He is a man of very few words, so the fact that he emailed me a sentence made me a little nervous. And so this is a direct quote from his email, that from reading what we had here, he thought that it could relate to dyspnea. So I kept reading the quotes, and I'm like, I don't really see where you're saying dyspnea, but because he wrote me a whole sentence, I wanted to make sure that I at least addressed his concerns. So I just wrote back, and I'm trying to explain that in yoga, we teach about posture, a little bit about the diaphragm, to kind of sit up straight, to take deep breaths. And wrote back to him, how would you feel if we call this deep breathing relaxation? And he finally emailed me back, okay. So we were good. These are some of the themes that I just wanted to show you. So for the feeling good, these are two participant quotes. The first patient came to class and wasn't feeling very well, wasn't sure if she wanted to stay, but by the end of the class she was feeling much better. And the second quote is from a patient who started off in a chair, and we were eventually able to coax her down to getting on the floor. So this was her first time getting on the floor, and she's telling us how good it felt and that she had more energy when she left class. We pull themes related to self-efficacy, which is one of the things that we're testing for. It's, do the participants feel more confident in being able to do yoga or just move their body after taking yoga class? And these were two quotes that were put under novice, meaning that the patients weren't sure about what they were doing or if they would be able to do it on their own without the instructors. And then this is a final theme, benefit, that is divided into several sub-notes, and I'm just showing you some. So one was mental, emotional, spiritual, that the patient was very grateful for being offered yoga, that she feels more tranquil, and that she sleeps better because of participating. The next one is stretch, that the patient feels that she's been able to stretch her whole body, learning to do that through the yoga classes. And the last one is increased energy, and this is actually a repeat of a quote in another theme, but it's okay to put them if they belong in more than one place. It's a little warm in here. So these are the quantitative measures that I needed to have just for my own sense that we were doing the right thing. And these come from exit interviews that we take at the very last yoga class. And then again, we call 3 months later just to make sure that the patients are doing yoga and to ask if there's anything else that they want us to know. So as you can see, 100% agree that the classes should be offered in English and Spanish, and this is primarily because we have a large bilingual population. Most agree that they like the poses for their arthritis and that they prefer to take classes with others who have arthritis. 100% say that they believe that this is a way to care for their arthritis. And 100% would recommend classes to another friend. And we have gone on to complete other groups, and so far all who have completed the 8-week program are still practicing after 3 months. So these are our two bilingual research assistants, Regina and Miriam. And in conclusion, our three main themes were feel good, general well-being, self-efficacy, and benefit. Participants gave us comments that they view that the yoga helped with their pain and sleep, and that they enjoy the potential for socializing with others with arthritis during the yoga class. And in summary, we believe that using the personal narratives are a good way to collect self-reported perceptions of participating in integrative studies. And these are two of our publications. The first one is just an overview of the protocol itself. And the second is the experience of working with rehab medicine to select different measures for this group and our experience so far.
Thank you, Ms. Newton. Do we have any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start here, yes.
Definitely. We are finishing up this study, and we're kind of running out of patients to be seen at this particular clinic. So we are going to do a larger study with patients with lupus to try to get bigger results based upon what we're doing here. But the main issue so far is we're not looking for effect. We're looking to see if minority populations will participate in the yoga classes. Can't take credit for that.
We had a question here, Beth. And then.
Yeah, I think you did a great job helping to demystify that some of these approaches are not just for people in cellulose. So I really salute you for that. And I'm just wondering if you ran into any of the challenges that sometimes, either with yoga or acupuncture, people have been told in their churches that the
We do actually. The NIAMS clinic is actually located within a Catholic church. And so there is some concern about whether or not we are blending spirituality with yoga in a way that's not appropriate for a clinical trial. We did have one patient who came to the yoga studio and said she felt uncomfortable and wasn't going to continue. So in terms of our own study, we don't chant Om, we don't use Sanskrit. We were instructed to remove as much spirituality as possible, but it is yoga, so it is going to happen. And we just document when it does.
Okay, we have two questions here. Yes.
I don't know if Lynette has any correcting this, but do you have any thoughts about whether when a book like this is published, it empowers other centers to the hospitals or community health programs to start incorporating these methods into their delivery, their protocols that they deliver? So, you know, seeing published research kind of validates things in people's minds, and then they can be empowered to open a yoga for arthritis program in their hospital. So do you have any thoughts about whether it's having that effect to publish this kind of research?
We hope so. It was important to me to have the support of the rheumatologist through NIAMS. And the second, the lupus study that we are doing was also another rheumatologist student from NIAMS. So hopefully that field is starting to understand that yoga may be a potential modality to use. It also benefits us that we're partnered with rehab medicine, because most of our patients are sent to rehab, but the thought of maybe yoga might help hasn't been part of the discussion. So hopefully what we're doing will kind of merge and blend those three fields, and other people will at least consider yoga for arthritis.
I actually work for a small research institute in Miami, and I can tell you that there are Hispanic people doing yoga. I'm also a certified yoga teacher. So I guess my first question was, was there a certification for the teachers for working with arthritis patients?
All of the yoga teachers were already certified at the 200 hour, and then Stephanie Munoz actually has a yoga for arthritis training that's another 30 hours in addition to what the yoga teachers have at the 200 hour level. And so anyone that's teaching yoga on our study had to train with Stephanie for the additional 30 hours.
And then I'm also curious about some other things. For the breathing, I know they talked about breathing. Was that like Ujjayi breathing, or was that a specific type of breathing?
We can't use any Sanskrit words, and so we're just kind of telling them to focus on their breath, and we can teach them medical terms, so about their diaphragm and how to fill your lungs, but we couldn't say Ujjayi or Kapalabhati or anything like that.
It didn't exactly measure specific health indicators or markers. Is that something that you plan on doing in the future with future funding?
We do have quantitative measures that we're collecting. It just wasn't part of this. We were talking about the qualitative. And because it's not an effectiveness study, we're just testing to see if the measures work for this population and if we want to carry them over into other studies.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Then we'd like to thank Ms. Middleton for her presentation again.